then begin the laborious task of unpeeling my clothes and dressing in something dry. Even after I do, my wet hair drips onto the clothes. Right about now, Dez would have dried my hair for me. He does weird, considerate things like that all the time. Did. I sit down heavily on my bed. Our bed. A piece of paper rustling beneath me. The violent, breathless pain of my grief is slipping like poison through my veins. I cover my eyes. Ugly, aching sobs rack my body. I let it out. I let it all out until I feel drained dry of the last of my tears. Placing my hands on my thighs, I take a deep breath. That's about when I finally notice the unassuming piece of parchment that I'm sitting on, the paper crinkling every time I shift. It rests there, like Dez just carelessly left it on the bed. But Dez doesn't do anything carelessly. I pull it out from under me. It's actually two pieces of paper, one a formal-looking document and a smaller note written by a familiar hand. I have to put the back of my palm to my mouth to stop another round of sobs.
Don't be frightened of yourself, Cherub. You are exactly as you should be. From flame to ashes, dawn to dusk, I am yours, always, till darkness dies. Your bargainer.
Dez knew he was going to die. That's what this is. A post-mortem love note. Suddenly I'm angry, brutally, grievously angry at him. My hand shakes, the paper crinkling. That bastard! How dare he leave me! I almost don't read the other piece of paper. I'm so furious. But then this is all I have left of him. A short note and another piece of parchment. Grimacing, I smooth out the paper, my eyes trailing over the words written in formal stanzas. The Prophecy of Galagar Nyx. Mighty Nyx came, mighty Nyx sought, all that he could of his dark lot. In the deep night his kingdom rose, beware, great king, of that which grows. Easy to conquer, easy to crown, but even the strongest can be cut down. Raised in the shadows, reared in the night, your child will come and ascend by might. And you, the slain, shall wait and see what other things a soul can be. A body to curse, a body to blame, a body the earth will not yet claim. Beware the mortal beneath your sky. Crush the human who'll see you die. Twice you'll rise, twice you'll fall, lest you can change it all. Or perish by day, perish by dawn, the world believes you're already gone. So darken your heart, my shadow king, and let us see what war will bring. I stare at the words for a long time. Horror, fear, and fury all churn within me. My emotions feel like a roulette table, spinning round and round. I'm not sure which emotion will win out. Is this supposed to mean something to me? Because it doesn't. I set the parchment aside, my emotions spinning, spinning, until eventually they land on something like grim determination. I will finish this. I will find the thief, I will kill him, and Galagar along with him. And then I will scour the underworld for my lost mate. I won't stop until Dez is mine again. Nothing else will do. A knock on the door jerks me from my thoughts. Your Majesty? The soldier who left me not so very long ago now calls out from the hallway. I guess he doesn't trust me enough after all to leave me alone. Come in, I call. I almost don't recognize my voice. It's cool and collected, like my world hasn't just been upended. Dez is not here. Oh God, he's not here, and I have to still function. You've functioned without him once before, back when you thought you'd never see him again. You're an old hand at this. But back then, I at least knew that the bargainer was out there somewhere in the vast universe, sipping espressos out of tiny cups and making deals with desperate men. The heart might in fact be the shittiest organ out there because it can feel love, and love is a terrible thing. Hate is a much better emotion. I have plenty of hate. I let it heat up my veins as I get up and open the door.
Your Majesty, the guard says from the hallway, the Queen of Flora is here, and she's seeking sanctuary.
Chapter 37. Mara Verdana is alive. Alive and here in Somnia. For a moment, I'm so shocked I forget about my own issues. I can picture the Flora Queen so clearly in my mind's eye. Her flame-red hair, those flowers twisted in her fiery locks, her beautiful, poisonous smile. Brazen, wicked Mara. By the end of my stay in her kingdom, she became a tragic figure. Like me, she watched her soulmate die, and also like me, she survived the ordeal. Get temper, I command one of the guards as I'm led to the throne room. I might not have wanted the sorceress's company as I fell apart, but I want her by my side for everything else. The soldiers lead me to the throne room, and my throat bobs a little when I notice the single chair waiting for me. Someone discreetly removed the second one. I take a seat, ignoring the room full of nobles and officials, here for one reason or another. My hands squeeze the armrests. I'm barely breathing. I have no clue how I'm supposed to rule when I can hardly hold myself together. The doors at the other end of the room are thrown open, and a retinue carries an ornate velvet chair on slats. Sitting in it is the Flora Queen. Her cheeks are gaunt. Her flaming red hair has dulled, and the flowers growing in them are wilted, the edges of them browned. The sight of her withering away is sobering, yet her chin is still raised in that haughty defiance I remember. The retinue comes to a stop, their final footfalls echoing throughout the room, and the fairies carrying her cart now set it down. In the silence that follows, one of the Flora guards trailing behind the procession steps forward.
Her Majesty, he announces, Our Lady of Life, Mistress of the Harvest, Queen of the Flora Kingdom and all that grows, Mara Verdana.
Mara's gaze falls to me. Even her eyes, which were once so strikingly green, have now lost their luster. If she's surprised or offended to see me, a human sitting on a fey throne, she doesn't show it. I came as soon as I heard the news about Desmond, she says. I frown at her, my claws pricking into the velvet armrests. Word gets around fast. One of the side doors opens and a knight soldier escorts Temper into the throne room, depositing her a few yards away from me. When she glances at me, her brows pinch together with concern. Then her gaze sweeps to Mara. She whistles.
Never thought I'd see you again.
Temper eyes Mara up and down.
You look like you tried meth one too many times.
Mara ignores Temper, and instead she struggles to stand. I rise from the throne. She puts a hand out. I'm fine. It takes the Flora Queen an agonizing minute to get to her feet. Once she does, her eyes flick around the room, and her gaze still has that razor sharpness that I remember. Eventually, her attention moves to me. A moment alone, she says. I raise my eyebrows. One of the last times you and I shared space, you had me whipped within an inch of my life. Around me, some of the night fae hiss. The sound constricts my heart. They're defensive of me. I hadn't expected that. I hadn't expected their acceptance at all. I believe when it comes to discussing the fates of our mates, Mara says smoothly, you'd prefer a little discretion?
My eyes narrow on her. I'll give it to the Flora Queen. She has some brass balls parading in here like some kind of rock star, then demanding a private meeting.
I glance over at Temper, who's emphatically shaking her head and mouthing, Not today, Satan. My eyes drift back to Mara, who looks exhausted but patient. She understands what I'm feeling. Right now, she might be the only one who understands. Staring at her a moment longer, I finally nod. Could you please give us a moment alone? I ask the room. In response, it empties.
Temper glowers on her way out, muttering about how useless it was for me to drag her here if I wasn't going to listen to her advice.
The last fairy leaves and the doors bang closed, the sound reverberating along the walls. I stare down at Mara. Is this what I'm going to become? A shell of myself? I get up and drag a nearby chair over to the velvet one Mara entered in.
Show's over, I say, gesturing to her elaborate chair. You can sit.
She moves over to it and all but collapses into the seat, wheezing a little.
I know he killed your mate, she begins.
I don't need to ask who she's talking about. She runs her index finger over the armrest.
I first turned to other men 10 years ago. I can remember the exact day.
This is not how I imagined the conversation going. Mara continues.
I looked at the green man and suddenly he didn't pull me in the way he once did. In fact, if I'm being perfectly honest, I'd say I was repulsed by him, though seemingly nothing had changed. I couldn't understand why, and of course I was ashamed of it. Never had I heard of a fairy who was disgusted by their soulmate. I don't know how the thief did it, how he managed to scoop out the green man's spirit and insert his own. She covers her eyes for a moment. I've only ever seen magic like that once before. My brows knit. I rest my forearms on my thighs and lean in closer.
Back when I was young and my parents ruled the kingdom of Flora, I met a man like you.
An enchanter. Lazaret.
Mara breathes his name. He came to our court as a minstrel, there to entertain my family and a lesser nobility. The Flora Queen already told me this story back when I visited her kingdom. Does she remember that, or has her mind withered along with her body?
Her eyes grow distant. Gods, he was stunning. Golden skin, eyes like emeralds.
I try not to roll my eyes. Mara might be tragic, but she's still vapid.
However, it was my sister, Mara says, Talia, who claimed his heart. I envied her then, to have the attention of such a beautiful man. But the longer she was around, Lazaret, the weaker she became. She was convinced they were mates, even though it was ridiculous. Fairies can sense that sort of magic, and it wasn't present with my sister or Lazaret.
But Talia wouldn't be swayed. She pledged her life and her heart to the enchanter, and her power. My parents told her to undo what she had done, that her magic belonged to the realm, not some pretty fairy, but she wouldn't listen to them. Even as Talia weakened, Lazaret was having increasing sway amongst our people. He'd spin songs and mesmerize the audience in ways that were unnatural. She sighs out of breath. And the more familiar he and I became, the more he unsettled me. It was just a conversation that turned awry somewhere along the way, or an inappropriate reaction to a situation. My skin pimples. I know too well what she's talking about. But at the time, she continues, we were all under his spell. Everyone but my parents, who saw him for what he truly was. A thief. That word is like a cool breath against my neck. They called him into court one spring morning to entertain the nobles. But it was a trap. Before he could so much as open his mouth, the court's executioner sliced off his head. She rubs her eyes. My sister. She didn't survive long enough to see the next moon cycle. Her power was hers again, but her heart wasn't. She took my father's sword and took her life. Mara frowns, her hand curling into a fist. She takes a deep breath. I was never my sister. I never wielded the same staggering magic she did. I was supposed to marry well and enjoy the fruits of court life. Instead, she died and I inherited the throne. I wasn't powerful, but the land of Flora is kind. When I was most uncertain about my kingdom's future, it gave me my king. I found the green man deep in the arcane forest. He was born of the trees themselves.
I saw it with my own eyes, the way the tree trunk's flesh parted and a fully formed man stepped forth from it. Her words remind me of all those bloody soldiers curled up in trees. The thief must have used the green man's power to put them there. In that instant, our bond snapped in place. Only the greatest rulers are given this sort of gift from the land itself. The green man was strange and magnificent, the way wild things are, but he was no normal fairy. He was a blessing, and he was mine. She shudders out of breath. I loved him. So much. Her eyes flick to me. I know you probably question that, but the man you saw was the thief. I finish for her. She flinches a little, her wilted flowers shifting in her hair. How could I have missed it? I ask myself that all the time these days. I don't have any answers. I thought that perhaps the green man's strangeness was a sign that the earth was calling him home, and when the trees started rotting, I thought my magic had betrayed me. The darkness will betray you, the seer had told Dez. I didn't know magic could betray its wielder, but I, of all people, should know better. Dez's magic tricked him into a bargain that kept us apart for 7 years. Magic is sentient. I was angry and jaded at my power, Mara says, and at the mate who had begun to act odd and distant and spent long hours among my sacred oaks. I should have known. There were times when my mate seemed sinister to me. And then when the sleeping women began returning to us in caskets, and we began laying them out in the greenhouses, the green man would often visit them. I mistook his fascination for concern, never once guessing he was Her voice breaks. Responsible. And so I buried my jaded emotions in warm bodies and beautiful celebrations. Even as my oaks died and my people went missing and my mate slipped farther from my reach, I pretended everything was fine. I became cruel. Her gaze holds mine captive. And this is how my great and unlikely story ends. My soulmate dead, my lands poisoned, and an imposter in my bed who seeded his undead army in my sacred wood. She shakes her head. Blasphemous! She hisses under her breath. Grimacing, she adds, I lived with him for 10 years. I try not to shiver at that. She spent the last decade alongside a creature who raped thousands of women and killed who knows how many more. She called him her mate. Are you going after him? She asks me. We will hunt him down and carve up his flesh. I nod. Even now my vengeance surges. He took my sister from me, Mara says. He took my soulmate from me. If I could kill him myself, I would. But alas, I'm dying. She reaches out and takes my hand, squeezing it tightly. Her eyes blaze. Find that thing and end him, once and for all. I walk away from the throne room even as my audience streams back inside. Someone calls out to me, and I'm sure I'm making a mess of royal protocol. Considering the day I've had, I think I'm entitled to give responsibilities the middle finger. My emotions are hard to unravel. I didn't think I had it in me to like Mara Verdana after everything she put me through, but I was wrong. I do like her when it's too late for us to ever be friends. Like a ghost, I slip towards my chambers. Once I'm inside, the door firmly shut behind me, I kick off my shoes and crawl into bed. It's another one of those Hail Mary days, only this time there's no bargainer to drive my pain away. Tomorrow isn't going to be any easier. I squeeze my eyes shut, my entire body heavy. I don't think I could move if I tried. Never want to leave. It takes no more than 10 minutes for Temper to find me. I hear her bang about as she enters the room. She sets something aside, then crawls onto the bed, sliding beneath the sheets. Her arms snake around me and she holds me close. It's all right, babe, she whispers. I shake my head. It's not. Temper exhales. You're right, it's not. But you're not alone. I'll always be here for you. That makes a tear slip out. Des promised me the same thing. The liar. My best friend brushes my hair back, leaning over me to get a good look at my face. It's sweet that you're worried about me, she says. But you and I both know my ass is too evil to kill. A laugh slips out and she joins in. I think mine might be too, I admit. Hell yeah, that's right, Temper agrees. You're a badass bitch when you want to be. Temper's arms tighten around me. Callie, you and I have been through some shit over the last decade. You don't need to be strong with me. Just let it out. I don't know if I needed to hear that or if Temper's words were simply the straw that broke the camel's back, but I do give in and cry, if you can call it that. You cry with your eyes, but I'm not just crying. I'm sobbing and shaking and heaving. Temper rubs my back and holds me as I fall apart, and she might literally be the best friend anyone anywhere has ever had. I mean, her boyfriend is comatose right now, and she's forcing herself to be strong so that I can break down. Minutes, then hours tick by, and every so often people knock on the door, their voices mentioning things like swearing me in or dealing with sensitive matters. The only time Temper leaves my side is to turn them away. You want to get singed? Temper threatens one now. A pause, then some mumbling. Yeah, that's what I thought. Fuck off. She slams the door shut and comes back to my side. At some point in the evening, the sorceress admits to me that she might have feelings for Malachi. She cries a little with me then, and now I'm holding her just as much as she's holding me. The two of us fall asleep like that, commiserating over our heartache, and comforting each other, just as we've always done. Chapter 38.
Missing your mate?
I spin at that voice, my skin brightening and my wings manifesting. The Thief of Souls reclines on his throne, a self-satisfied smirk on his face. I will gut you! I stalk towards him, my claws out in an instant. Drink his screams. Laugh as we watch him die. He raises an eyebrow.
I'd like to see you try.
My wings move, pulling me into the air. I descend on him like a fury, my legs straddling his, my claws bared. The thief catches my wrists.
What was it you said the last time you dreamed of me?
He pretends to search his memory.
Oh, yes. If you want to hurt me, you're going to have to try harder. Tell me, Enchantress, have I tried hard enough?
I shriek, fighting against his hold on my wrists. I want to rip away that smug smile of his. Damn you! My voice is raw with fury and pain. An angry tear slips out. I will fucking make you feast on your own heart for what you did.
That's awfully vivid. You're going to have to carve it out of my chest first, and...
He glances at the wrists he holds captive.
It doesn't look like that'll happen anytime soon.
I yank against his grip, my teeth gritted. The thief resettles himself between my legs.
My, is this intimate...
Where is Dez? I demand. Glamour fills my voice, but it does nothing to pry the truth loose from the thief.
If you want your soulmate, he says, his voice low, you'll have to come and get him.
He jerks on my wrists, pulling me in close. The thief leans in and licks my bared throat.
For a price,
he says, using words he stole from the bargainer. I go feral in his arms, bucking wildly and scratching anything I can. The thief easily tosses me to the floor in front of him. I'm back on my feet in an instant, but that's all it takes for the ground to split and a cage to literally grow up from the floor. The black bars rise around me, arching overhead until they meet.
I think you've forgotten that inside a dream, I can do anything.
To emphasize his point, my outfit, a wispy pale blue dress, begins to vanish inch by inch.
I can humiliate you,
he says, as the dress's hem climbs up my legs and the straps slide off my shoulders, revealing my breasts. I scowl at the thief, too angry to be embarrassed. Distractedly, I push the straps back in place, covering my chest once more. His eyes are alight with excitement.
I can hurt you.
The metal bars bow in until they touch my skin. My flesh begins to sizzle and smoke under the press of iron.
This isn't even me being creative,
he adds.
I could make the floor grow eyes and a mouth and swallow you whole. I could change your appearance.
He begins to grin.
I could even make the dead come back to life. Cherub.
I start at that voice, my breath catching. I turn so fast that I burn myself against the bars all over again. Stepping out from the shadows, clad in leather and a faded Guns N' Roses shirt, is my soulmate. A small sound escapes my throat. Dez. My eyes scour him, taking in his sleeve of tattoos, his broad, sculpted shoulders, the ponytail he wears his hair in. I know he's not real, that none of this is real, and yet he looks completely lifelike. In the other world, dreams are never just dreams. They're another sort of reality. Dez had told me that once. With every step he takes towards me, his strides get longer, brisker. He stops in front of my cage, his eyes searching my face. His gaze flicks to the thief, his upper lip ticking. A grim smile grows on his features.
She's going to kill you,
he says with certainty.
No,
the thief disagrees. She's going to do things for me. Many perverse things, over the course of her very long life. And there's nothing you can do to stop it. My heart is beginning to hammer in my chest, my pain and rage feeding the siren inside me. I flash him a malicious smile. If you want to taste me, thief, then come closer. I beckon. His face is shrewd, but his interest is piqued.
I could come to you, or you could come to me.
My brows knit. All at once, a strong wind tears through the thief's palace. The gust blows away the bars of my cage. It blows away the bone-like columns holding up the ceiling, then the pale stone walls along with it. The wind blows away the floor, yanking on my dress. Then, to my horror, it blows away Desmond, piece by piece. First his feet and his calves, then his chest and arms and pelvis. He stares at me with his fierce silver eyes, his irises glittering enigmatically. Those two are lost a second later, scattering like dust in the wind. I let out a cry, but the wind snatches it away, whipping my hair as it does so. The supernatural gust is sweeping everything up into inky darkness. The last things to be wiped away are the thief and his gilded throne. He smiles down at me, looking like a conqueror.
Come find your mate where oblivion lies. I'll keep you captive till darkness dies.
I wake with a gasp. My hair is plastered to my face and my skin glows. Next to me, Temper snores, her body somehow managing to take up 3/4 of the bed. I slip off the mattress and begin to rummage around the room, discreetly looking for a swimsuit. When I don't find one, I settle for lingerie. Changing into the items, I head back for the pool that lingers half indoors, half out. This time when I enter the glowing waters, I don't sink to the bottom. Instead, I flip on my back and let myself drift along the surface. Inevitably, the water moves me to the outer edges of the pool and I stare up at the stars. Dez. My chest feels like it's caving in. Even the stars seem to mock me. How can they continue to shine when the man that ruled them is gone?
Come find your mate where oblivion lies.
I begin to glow all over again, just thinking about the thief. It's been a long time since I've wanted to hurt someone this badly. Let's sing to him our sweet, strange song,
He will know pleasure then. Pleasure and pain. We'll remind him why sirens are known as killers.
The conundrum of it all is how to get my hands on the thief. Dying is the most obvious way. It's a one-way ticket straight to the thief's kingdom. But that's exactly what the thief wants. It's the very reason he gave me the lilac wine. Because at the end of the day, once a fairy dies, their souls are under the domain of the King of the Dead. At least I think he wants me under his domain. He hasn't tried very hard to kill me.
Come find your mate where oblivion lies.
Said as though I could just fucking walk there. I glare up at the stars. My breath leaves me all at once. Holy shit. What if I could just walk to the Kingdom of Death? What if? The Kingdom of Death and Deep Earth is a physical place in the other world, just like the other kingdoms. The fact that you have to die to get there is the most obvious route in, but if fairies can spin moonlight into cloth, and Dez can put starlight in my hair, why couldn't the living enter the realm of the dead without dying? Even on Earth, there were tales of living people entering the underworld. Some even leaving with the dead. Here in the other world, a place where the impossible is made possible? Perhaps I could do the same. Or perhaps grief has made you weak in the head. I deflate. I continue to stare up at the stars, the water lapping against my skin. But the longer my thoughts wander, the more they keep coming back to the possibility that there might be a way for me to enter the land of the dead, one that doesn't involve dying. I bet it's possible. Maybe then I could face the thief of souls without being his subject. After all, I wouldn't have been the first person to visit the King of the Dead and live to tell the tale. There was one other who sought him out long ago. I sit upright in the water, the waves splashing at the movement. God damn it, I have an idea. An idea that might actually work. Chapter 39.
All hail the Queen of the Night.
I stride into the throne room, temper trailing behind me. A chorus of cheers rise up as fairies watch me file in, their gazes drawn to my glowing skin. My power still hasn't settled down, not since yesterday. At this point, I'm not sure it ever will. Not until I get my mate back. I take a seat on Dez's throne, temper stopping just off to my side. Hours ago, I filled my friend in on all that I knew about the thief and the kingdom he rules, and then I told her my idea. Now all that's left is executing it. The room goes quiet, people waiting on me for further instruction. I don't wear a crown, and I'm not here by choice, but for once, I feel queenly. Too late for Dez to see it. I glance at one of the night soldiers guarding the doors at the back of the room.
Bring the traitor in.
The soldier ducks his head and slips out. In his wake, the silence seems to deepen. We wait, the minutes ticking by. All at once, the double doors swing open, and two guards dressed in black escort a white-haired fairy down the aisle. Galagar smirks at me, clearly pleased at himself despite the situation, pleased that his last remaining child is dead. At the sight of him, I squeeze the armrests, my claws puncturing through the velvet.
We will tear into him and make ribbons of his flesh.
The soldiers lead Dez's father to the end of the aisle.
Release him,
I say to the guards.
Immediately they step away from Galagar, moving to take their posts nearby.
The former king glances down at his iron cuffs, a smile twisting his mouth.
How does it feel to lose what you loved most, slave?
He asks, peering up at me.
The room sucks in a collective breath at the slur. I watch him, tapping a claw against my armrest.
Let's taste his flesh as he begs for mercy, my siren whispers. Bring him closer.
All my life, I've never truly understood my power, I begin. Why must the nature of sirens be to entice men? Gallagher's brows furrow. Not the response he was expecting, and he has no idea where I'm going with this. But I do.
I don't understand,
he says, forced to answer because of the glamour in my voice. Whatever wards protected him from my magic back on Barbos, they're gone now.
We have him in our clutches. I study him.
You will.
Why does my power draw others in? I always wondered about that. About how much of my alluring nature was to blame for my stepfather's sick assaults. Obviously, that's incorrect thinking. My stepfather was to blame for his actions, not my power. But at the time, I didn't know it. And then an instructor at Peel Academy touched me inappropriately, and suddenly the abuse felt like a pattern, and I wondered all over again, why? Why did I have to be this way? If I blended in more, could I have escaped the abuse I endured? No. No, I could not have. There will always be bad men, and they will take and take and take. But so will I. People like us are not victims. We're someone's nightmare. I finally understand why my power draws others in.
There are two kinds of predators, I say softly. One who chases after prey, and one who coaxes their prey to them.
Gallagher hasn't lost his smug expression. He will in a moment.
What do you see when you look at me? I ask.
My mortal enemy, he says. You must be destroyed.
What else?
Again, his brows draw together.
A slave,
he says, compelled to answer by my magic.
What else?
He frowns, but his eyes drink me in, fascinated.
An enchantress,
he finally says.
A siren,
I correct him. There are aspects of my magic that I've unconsciously dulled over the years. The ability to ensnare my victims with a look alone, that is one of them. The same part of me that resented my nature also feared this part of me, the sinister, powerful, punishing part of me. I already disliked the attention I received. I didn't want any more of it. That's why even at Peel Academy, I was a loner. I willed myself to be overlooked. I didn't realize then that's what I was doing, but I did it nonetheless, and I continued doing it. Until now. All at once, I unleash the full force of my magic on the room. My skin brightens a touch, and my power fills the air. Dozens of fairies stand, their eyes glazing over as they look at me. Many begin to clamber over chairs, trying to get closer to me. Even Temper cuts towards my throne. Everyone, stay where you are! My audience stops where they stand, bound by my order. I gaze down at the former Night King. Abruptly, I stand. Stair by stair, I descend the dais until I'm only a couple yards from him.
What do you see now? I ask.
This is what it's like for a siren to hunt. He takes a step forward, his eyes bright, his gaze ensnared.
There aren't words.
He breathes, his vendetta forgotten. He shakes his head wondrously.
In all my years, I have never beheld one such as yourself.
He takes another step forward.
Why should my son receive such a prize from the gods, but not me?
A moment ago, I was a slave. Now I am a prize, always an object to be possessed. I close my eyes even as the former Night King begins to murmur promises about the future.
When I am king again, you could still live here. The thief is not to touch this kingdom. You could be one of my concubines. I would make you my favorite. You would have everything you ever wanted.
The only thing I ever wanted is gone. Teach me again how to be someone's nightmare, I'd asked Dez.
My power ripples over my skin.
With pleasure, mate.
I open my eyes. Kneel, I command. Galagar doesn't even have it in him to glare at me. I hold his very mind in the palm of my hand. What rules him now is desire. I scowl at the former Night King. This is the seed of evil that started it all. Had it not been for Galagar's selfishness, the entire fabric of this world's history would have been different. Dez's mother might still be alive, along with his half-siblings. Dez might have been raised in a castle rather than a cave. He might have had a great life. We might never have met, and he might never have died before his time. The horrible thing about true love is that I would erase us if it meant keeping him alive. Slowly, I diminish my glamour. I don't want Galagar to mindlessly enjoy what I'm doing to him. I want it to bother him very, very badly. Within seconds, the former king's expression goes from lustful to confused to furious. You bitch, he snarls. I chastise him. The next time you say or do anything unflattering about me, or anyone else for that matter, I will make you eat your tongue. Literally. I reach out to caress Galagar's cheek. Ours to taste, ours to break. He lifts his bound hands, presumably to push mine away. No, I say. You won't fight me. You won't flee. You will sit here, answer my questions, and let me touch you as I please. His hands drop, even as he curls his upper lip. Galagar has so much power, I can sense it vibrating within him, and yet against me, it's utterly useless. I stroke his cheekbone. You're very pretty, I say, in a cruel sort of way. Too bad the rest of you is useless. I grab him by his lower jaw and tilt his head back and forth, assessing him from different angles. Then again, perhaps I can find some use for you. Now that my mate's gone, there's nothing stopping me from starting my own harem. I lean closer. You would be my concubine. I should warn you, if you were in my harem, there are many things I would ask of you that you may not be comfortable with. Sirens are known to enjoy both sex and blood. I do hope you're not squeamish. I smile a little at the hate in his eyes. I doubt he's ever had someone turn his own tricks back on him. Releasing his jaw, I say, "Relax, asshole, I would never be intimate with you." Enough toying with him. I straighten. I want to pay the Thief of Souls a personal visit. How do I get to him? Galagar laughs. You'd have to die first. I wait for his laughter to trail off. Is that the only way? I ask. He hesitates. Is it? I press. The hateful look is back. I watch as he holds out against my glamour for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds. No, he eventually grits out. My pulse begins to race. I was right. There is another way in. Tell me everything you know about this other entrance to the land of death and deep earth. Galagar's lips twitch as he fights my compulsion. For once, it isn't satisfying to watch him resist. Every second he holds out, answering feels like an eternity. Impatient, I unleash a little more of my power. You want to answer me, I say, my voice hypnotic. Now tell me. The mean look in his eyes dissolves away. He stares at me like I'm some rare treasure. In the land of nightmares, there's a forest, he says. The land of nightmares. Why does that sound familiar? Memnos, I remember. The land of nightmares was another name for Memnos, one of the floating islands of the Night Kingdom. It was the only island Dez didn't take me to, and for good reason. It was where the creatures of nightmares lived. Deep in this forest, there is the pit. Galagar's gaze never wavers from mine.
Go to the pit and travel as deep as you dare, and there you will find the kingdom of death and deep earth and thief himself.
I exhale. There it is. My long sought after answer. My heart shudders to life. I want to laugh at all the hope I feel. I will drag Dez back up to the land of the living, and no one can stop me, not even the thief himself. For once I will save the mate who saved me over and over again. I glance over at Temper. Like the fairies in the room, she's caught by the coils of my glamour, her eyes bright. Still, she manages a predatory smile. Turning back to Galagar, I shudder the full force of my power. It's the most natural thing in the world, strengthening and weakening my magic. And here I'd thought I had poor control over my siren. I'd never realized that I'd kept such a tight leash on my power this entire time, even when I had used it. At least, I hadn't realized that until now, when I no longer cared about reining my alluring, destructive nature. Galagar's expression flickers, then shifts, as my hold on him lessens. His features contort with his fury. I doubt anyone has treated him like this. I study the former king, who's still on his knees. Despite being a prisoner, he's still dressed in fine linen and he wears several rings. Let me see your hands. He fights my glamour, his hands trembling, but eventually he extends them out to me. Galagar wears 3 bronze rings, one masterfully crafted to depict a crescent moon and stars, another one inset with a black stone, and the last one a simple band with a crudely carved face of a woman with wild hair, her mouth open in a scream. My fingers land on that ring. Beneath my touch, Galagar's skin jumps. Ignoring his reaction, I slip the ring off.
What are you doing?
He demands. Isn't it obvious? I say, my voice lilting. I'm taking your jewelry. A memento to remember him by. The king I brought to his knees with a look alone. The man who abused his power in so many horrific ways. He's powerless now, perhaps for the first time in his unnaturally long life. His mouth moves, probably to curse my name, but then I think he remembers my warning. I will make you eat your tongue. Whatever he was going to say stays firmly behind his teeth. He settles on glaring at me some more, the hate in his eyes mixing with a little pain. Being powerless is a terrible, humiliating feeling. Both Dez and I would know. We've been powerless before, victims of our father's cruelty. 8 years ago, Dez had dealt with mine. Now I'm returning the favor.
Tell me, fallen king, I say conversationally, how many of your own children have you killed?
He growls at me, battling back the words. I wait, a small smile tugging at my lips. He can't hold out forever.
I do not know.
The words are ripped from his throat. I raise my eyebrows. That many? It actually hurts, thinking about these long-dead heirs, some who must have been children and babies when their own father came after them. And have you ever been brought to justice for these crimes? The room is rapt, watching this horror show unfold.
No,
he grinds out from between his teeth. Then it's time you faced punishment. Galagar scowls at me, furious. How does the Night Kingdom repay the man who forced countless women into his harem? I ask. Women who he took advantage of, women whose children he slaughtered. How do we repay the man who allowed the Thief of Souls to kidnap thousands of soldiers and force unspeakable cruelties on them? How do you collect justice for something like that? I ask him. It's quiet for several seconds. The two of us staring each other down.
You cannot.
Galagar finally spits out, answering my rhetorical question. Now I smile, just a little.
That
I say softly, is where you're wrong. My eyes move to the soldiers standing by the doors.
Guards, find the bog and bring him here.
Galagar's eyes widen, and now his anger is replaced by panic. The former Night King's face reddens as he squirms against my glamour, fighting to break free. Strong as he is, he cannot. I can feel Temper's eyes on me. I can sense her surprise and feel the barest breath of her approval. She might not know what a bog is, but she knows I'm about to do something bad, and she's okay with that. We both harbor monsters within us. She understands this. The sentiment in the rest of the room is a mystery. There's magic in the air, and it tastes of fear and anticipation and wicked delight. But the fairies themselves give no indication of their true feelings. It takes an eternity for the creature to join us. The entire time I stare Galagar down. It's the ripple of voices through the room more than the monster itself that alerts me the bog has arrived. Eventually I see it creeping up the aisle. I don't know if I'm doing right by Desmond or anyone else, or if my own wickedness is overtaking me, but I do know that I feel no guilt. None at all.
I don't know what your fears are, I say to Galagar, but I hope the bog savors them as much as I will. Ours to kill, the siren protests, but I'm saving the killing for another creature.
Galagar's upper lip curls, still pinned to the ground by my orders.
I hope the thief makes you suffer,
he says as the bog's shadowy form slips up to him. The former king's attention moves briefly from me to the monster closing in on him. His breath hitches. Galagar's gaze skirts back to me. He won't beg. Even now he has too much misplaced pride for that, but his eyes are imploring me for mercy. The time for mercy has long since passed.
I want you to know, I say, I'm doing this for every woman you wronged, every child you killed, every person you hurt. But more than that, I want you to know that I'm doing this for Desmond and his mother, and I'm doing this for me.
I turn to the bog.
Devour him.
Chapter 40. I'm going to save you, Des. That line repeats through my head as I stalk through the Night King's palace, the gauzy dress I wear dragging along behind me. Need to change.
Girl, that was cold.
Temper says at my side as the two of us put distance between ourselves and the throne room.
You would have done the same.
She snorts. I would have done worse. We all know that of the two of us, you're the good cop.
I used to be. Now, on the other hand.
Dez's father can't be killed, I say.
At least, Galagar can't be killed so long as the thief continues to prolong his unnatural life. That means that the bog might be able to scare the crap out of the fallen king, but he won't die from the experience.
Damn, Temper says. So you're just going to let him rot away inside that creature?
No, unfortunately. I still need Galagar. Temper gives me a questioning look.
He's going to guide me to the pit.
She raises her eyebrows.
Oh, shit. You're going to try to save Dez.
Not try. I will save him. She cracks her neck.
I've never been to the underworld before. This should be fun.
You're not coming.
I don't look at her when I say it.
For a beat, there's silence. Then, what? Of course I'm coming. Don't make me get offended.
I stop in the middle of the hallway and turn to her. Temper, I'm probably going to die. And I can't bear the thought of putting her life at risk in the process.
One, Temper says, you're not going to fucking die. This is not a suicide mission, otherwise I'd be chaining your ass to one of the stupid marble sculptures littering this place, rather than getting ready to pack my bags. And two, yeah, this is dangerous shit. You want to rescue your soulmate and kill that asshole thief while you're at it? I'm not even sure how you're supposed to do that. What I do know is that you need a sorceress to help you out. I like frightening scary creatures and messing shit up in general.
I'm coming with you.
I hem and haw as the two of us stand there in the hallway. I mean, temper is my ride-or-die bitch. And there's no one better to have at your side than an angry sorceress when facing down an enemy of epic proportions. But the thing is, the thief has seemingly boundless power and influence. Temper, I don't know how this is going to turn out, and I don't want you to die. She raises her eyebrows.
You actually think this fucktard freak could take me out? Now I am offended.
Her eyes briefly blaze with power.
Ugh, she's impossible.
Fine, come with me then. Not going to fight with her over this.
She lets out a low laugh, her tongue running over her lower lip.
I might love this lady, but right now temper looks sinister.
Girl, she says, let's make that bastard pay.
I need weapons. Lots and lots of weapons. I order one of my guards as Temper and I head towards my rooms, and battle leathers. Bring enough for the two of us.
The sorceress, for her part, is practically glowing with her excitement. She's got a healthy appetite for revenge, this one. Temper and I enter my chambers, and I try not to shudder at the sight of the rooms. I keep expecting Dez to appear at any moment, his wry voice at my back. But I'm not going to hear him or see him, not until I save him. Several minutes later, a couple night soldiers come to my chambers, their arms full of a wide variety of weapons and armor. They deposit the goods on the bed and retreat. Once the door closes behind them, Temper and I begin to change. Since Dez isn't here to magically help, suiting up takes a good 10 minutes. As the two of us fasten and buckle on the battle leathers, we begin to arm ourselves. A sword here, a dagger there. I slide my trusted daggers into their sheaths on either side of my hips while Temper picks up a double-headed axe.
Look, she says, it's lady-sized for my wee woman fingers.
I snicker. The weapon is small. Temper slides the axe into a holster at her back. Guess its wee size works. I finish cinching up the thigh holster and straighten. There's no more fear. I went from sorrow to desperation to numbness, and now this. Cold, hard determination. Essence to essence, breath for breath. I've been chipped away of my weaknesses. This is what's beneath. Dead or not, I'm getting my mate back, and so help the gods, I will bring down the universe if I have to. Till darkness dies, Dez.
2 hours later, Temper and I are standing in front of a moaning Galagar, his body coated in a clear mucus-like substance, which I can only assume is the bog's stomach acid. The bog, for his part, is safely tucked away in the same unassuming box Dez once released it from. I frown down at Galagar, who's holding his head.
Get up,
I command, my skin glowing. He pushes himself up on shaky feet. When he takes me and Temper in, he lets out a cry that's somewhere between feral anger and blinding fear. The sorceress assesses him.
You never thought two slaves would fuck your life to shit now, did you?
Not just two slaves, two women, which for Galagar is somehow worse.
I will kill you,
he says, staggering forward.
No, you won't. I say calmly, what you will do is receive a shower, get some new clothes, and help us.
You crazy bitch, I don't need your tongue.
So unless you want to lose it, you will continue to speak to me and my sorceress friend here in the most reverential of ways.
I want him to call me Great Goddess. Can you make that happen?
Temper says to me.
Staring at Galagar, I say, you will refer to the sorceress from here on out as my great goddess of fuckery and other magical things. Understood?
If Galagar could spit fire right now, he would. Instead, he nods sharply, his nostrils flaring.
Good, I say. I motion to the soldier standing post nearby. Please get the traitor a bath and fresh clothing, and something to eat. He'll need his strength for what's to come.
What's to come?
He echoes, a spark of fear lighting his eyes.
Did I not tell you? I say.
You're taking us to Memnos.
Memnos is supposed to be a frightening place, but when I catch sight of the dark island on the horizon, all I feel is a cold thrill. Getting close now.
Dez's aides and his soldiers had all been reluctant to let me come here with nothing but a human and a traitor. They'd wanted to send in the last of their army, uncaring that the Thief of Souls could put them all to sleep in an instant if it pleased them. So I ignored their advice. In the end, they couldn't do much about it. Not when I had Glamour working for me.
The three of us close in on the island, Temper cradled in Galagar's arms. The once mighty king is now nothing more than our errand boy. He wears a venomous look, but he's magically enslaved to my orders, and so he obediently leads us forward towards the floating island. When we reach it, we pass over a small city. The lights below us are muted. The smell of blood and corrupted magic tinges the air. I can practically feel the danger radiating off the land. The buildings give away to thick, blighted forests with shadowy trees and strange light glittering from within their depths. The woods are only broken up by the odd fortress or cottage, the structures looking downright nefarious. The trees thin out, and those that remain look weak and warped. It's amongst these trees that we land. I drop to my feet, folding my wings up as Galagar lands ahead of me. His arms shake as he gently releases Temper. I can tell he badly wants to throw my friend to the ground, but my glamour forbids him from harming the sorceress.
"Where's the pit?" Temper asks, looking around.
"Up ahead, my great goddess of fuckery and other magical things."
He mumbles the last part. "Speak up," I command. His eyes shoot daggers at me.
"I said it's up ahead, O dark queen who thinks I'm a douchebucket of the most epic proportions."
Temper smirks. "What is your name again?" she asks him.
He curls his lip at her.
"Callie," Temper says, calling for a little assistance.
"Answer her, I order."
He grinds his teeth. "Galagar O'Malagar, king of asshats, killer of boners, wannabe emperor who needs to eat a bag of dicks and die."
The title's clearly got a little out of hand. I mean, we might not be able to kill him or bring him to justice, but we can humiliate the shit out of him.
I gesture around us. "Lead us to the pit."
The forest is preternaturally quiet. Until it isn't. First it's an angry yowl of some lone creature. Then the caw of a crow joins in. Within minutes the woods are full of hisses and howls, wails and half-mad cries.
"Fucking creepy,"
Temper whispers next to me. The noises aren't the worst thing about this place. I can feel a dozen different sets of eyes on me as we cut through the sparsely wooded forest. I'm still glowing like a beacon, my power drawing in an increasing number of fey. More malevolent magic tinges the air, and it's only getting worse the farther we walk. The last of the trees clear, and I see it. The pit. The thing is massive. It looks like a sinkhole, its depths cast into darkness. The longer I stare at it, the more I realize that the darkness is moving. Writhing about either with living things or magic. Don't want to go down there. My very bones protest getting any closer. Two shadowy creatures separate themselves from the darkness. They're longer and more spindly than a regular fairy, but I can smell their fey magic. I stare at them as they approach. "What are they?"
"Reeves,"
says Galagar with no little amount of distaste. "They are the overseers of the pit, O dark queen who thinks I'm a douchebucket of the most epic proportions."
"You can stop with the titles," I say.
"He still better call me by mine," Temper says.
"You can stop with all the titles except hers,"
I amend, pointing to my friend. Galagar glowers. The Reeves approach us, the sight of them making the hairs along my arm stand on end. I don't know how they feel about me using their precious pit to get to the kingdom of death and deep